Thank you. Speakers, your recording has started. You may begin.
Thank you, Tony. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Standing Committee on Improvement teleconference taking place on Thursday, the 4th of June.
Thank you, everyone. This is Ann Aikman-Scalise, and I guess we'll begin with our roll call for the SCI meeting today. Harry, can you hear me?
Terry, this is Julie. Did we lose you?
I'm still here. I don't know what happened to Terry.
She says she lost audio, and she says one moment she's rejoining. So I think she did not hear you.
Okay. She's coming back in.
Yep.
Hi, Paula. This is Terry. Did you hear me now?
You're very faint, Terry. Could you speak again?
Oh, is that better? Oh, one moment.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Nope. Yeah, it's still fairly faint. But at any rate, Anne was asking if you could go ahead and do the roll call. So.
Certainly. One moment. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the SCI teleconference taking place on Thursday, the 4th of June, 2015. On the call today, we have Anne Aikman-Scalise, Rudy Van Snick, Avery Doria, Wolf Ulrich Nobin, Lori Schulman, and Amr Elzar. We have no apologies listed for today's conference. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back to you, Anne.
Hi, everyone. This is Anne Aikman-Scalise, and thank you for taking the time to participate today. First, I'd like to ask, are there any changes to statements of interest? Okay, seeing none. We'll move on to our next topic. I don't know if anyone has felt an urge to move into the SCI vice chair position, but if we have any volunteers, I appreciate your letting us know that at this time. And if not, I would really appreciate in Buenos Aires if you could, you know, talk to members, you know, both primary and alternate about potentially coming into this position. Again, I consider it a very important position because I'm basically not going to publish any sort of communication or drafts or anything to the full SCI membership list without reviewing those first with whoever the SCI chair, vice chair is. So then if we could move on to our first issue, we determined in our last call that with advice from staff that we would consider first the interplay between the 10-day waiver rule and the resubmitted motion rule. I tried to send out a basic summary of what that issue is. It really, I believe, is the question of whether a resubmitted motion can benefit from the 10-day waiver rule. For those, you know, who participated last year, you are aware that we went through a lot of discussion to determine what constituted a resubmitted motion and what did not constitute a resubmitted motion. And those rules were put in place by Janus Hope Council in the form of 4.3.3 and 4.3.4. We should probably mention that a motion that contains a material change is not a resubmitted motion, and we should also mention that a motion cannot be resubmitted during the same council meeting. In fact, it must be resubmitted 24 hours at least before the next council meeting. And in addition to that, a motion that's not voted upon will not be considered a resubmitted motion. So, and in connection with the 10-day waiver rule, just to summarize, the reason for that rule is that there are some motions that can be introduced in fewer than the 10-day advance time frame that counselors may agree unanimously that they want to vote on that motion at a council meeting. And so this is a practical rule that allows counselors to proceed on something that is theoretically, anyway, not controversial, and to waive the 10-day advance rule. So the question that we're presented with from counsel at this time is whether a resubmitted motion can benefit from the 10-day waiver rule. Now, if possible, I would like to first ask Amr to comment on this, since he was active on the list and in our meetings last year with respect to this issue. Amr, if you could summarize again what you think the concern is and perhaps suggest what you think the resolution might be, I would appreciate that.
Well, thanks, Anne. This is Amr. I think you summarized it quite well. There are, in the work that this committee has done and has presented to the GNSO Council on both the 10-day waiver rule as well as the resubmission of motions, there were sort of rules to how that could be done and under what circumstances these exceptions would be allowed. I think that the main issue here is that there are exceptions. There are requirements in resubmission of a motion that sort of conflict with some of the requirements of the 10-day waiver rule. So what we really need to do is make sure that if we do suggest any amendments that they do not conflict with each other anymore. Personally, I see no reason why a 10-day waiver rule should not apply to a resubmitted motion as long as all the rules in the waiver of the 10-day rule are adhered to, which I think give a lot of flexibility to members of the GNSO Council to not agree to a waiver if in the event that they would choose not to. But as they are now, I think it would be a good idea to sort of make sure that the 10-day waiver rule applies to resubmitted motions. I would also like to add that last year, in February of last year, Mary Wong had circulated a draft proposal on how to get this done in the PDP manual. I dug it up in the SCI List archives, and I'm putting the link to that in the chat if anyone would be interested to take a look. Thanks.
That's great, Amr. Thank you. It's Anne again, and there's one question I wanted to ask you about with respect to conflicts, and I do want to get others' thoughts on just the notion generally, but in noticing my error in reporting, the resubmitted motion has to be resubmitted 24 hours in advance. Is that correct? Or it does not?
No, I believe the resubmitted motion has to be resubmitted at least 10 days prior to the next council meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I'm mixing
what we want to do. Yeah, so what we want to do is make sure that the 10-day waiver rule applies to that as well, so that resubmitted motions can be introduced 24 hours prior to a council meeting.
Okay, so the resubmitted motion would be required to be submitted at least 24 hours in advance. And I assume then we're thinking that the explanation could come 24 hours in advance of why it's being resubmitted.
That is correct. However, in order for any motion, in this case, whether it's a resubmitted motion or whether it's a new one, there is one of the rules on waiving the 10-day rule is that there has to be no objection from any counselors amongst the GNSO Council. So technically, whether it's a new motion or a resubmitted motion, for any reason, if a counselor feels that a 10-day waive or should not apply, then they could object, and then the motion would not be considered submitted. So that's why I think that there's plenty of protection, or sort of plenty of of safeguards in the 10-day waiver rule that should allow it to be applicable to resubmitted motions similarly to the way it is applicable to new motions being submitted. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Wolf-Ulrich, could you give us your comments, please?
Yes, thank you. And sorry, maybe I did not follow in the past so exactly, you know, what's going on. And I was reading the two texts you provided or Julie provided with regards to the waivers and the resubmitted motions which were applied or approved by the council. I could not find anything about the 24 hours you mentioned, so that's my first question. I only found things relating to the 10 days rule and to the rule saying resubmitted motion must be published no later than the deadline for submitting the motion, whatever that is. So that is one thing. So the 24 hours is not very clear to me. On the other hand, I understood right now that it is the request of several parts of the council or so that it may be clarified that the motion, the resubmission of motion is going to benefit as well from the 10 waiver rules as the submission of motion is. So my question is, since Amma mentioned some conflicts here between what the real conflict is and whether the conflict could just be solved by clearly explaining in the resubmission of motion rule that it benefits from the 10-day waiver rule, if that is the case. So these are my two points I would like to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolf-Ulrich. I believe the 24-hour advance notice is contained in 3.3.2 and then subsection A. And, you know, I admit to also having been a bit confused about how these two would interact. But what I'm understanding from Amr's explanation is that once we say that a 10-day waiver rule is available for resubmitted motions, we would be saying that 3.3.2A applies and that would, if you will, trump the advance submission requirement of a resubmitted motion so that it would be 24 hours in advance of the GNSO Council meeting, accompanied by the request for consideration. And I think there, if we were going to your second point, if we were going to modify the resubmission of a motion rule, we would have to also state, in addition to it being subject, you know, to the 24-hour advance, that the explanation of why it's being resubmitted would have to be also accompany that request. And this relates to the language of subsection B of 3.3.2, which talks about requests for consideration. So if we were going to modify the language in the resubmission of motion rule, we would, I think, have to translate that into a requirement for the explanation as to why it's being resubmitted. Any more thoughts? Avery, did you, I think you were involved in discussion of this at the council level, perhaps. Are you with us?
Yeah, I just had to find my microphone and,
okay, good.
And all that stuff. I don't know that, and maybe it's just my lack of recall and someone like staff or Amar who, you know, or those who remember everything will correct me. But I think we ended up more talking about the issue of there being something to talk about and did not get deeply into the details, but I may be forgetting. So I got nothing to add. Thanks.
Okay, and so I guess that clarifies, you know, why we are talking about it now. There doesn't, you know, so far seem to be a lot of controversy about this topic. I don't recall any particular controversy either, other than the fact that it might not be, you know, clear one way or the other. And I see that Amr has posted in the chat some language that Mary had suggested to be added to, in this case, I guess, to the 10-day waiver rule rather than to the resubmitted motion rule. So I'll recognize Amr now to hopefully explain that.
Thanks, Dan. This is Amr again. I also wanted to sort of go over my recollection of why this became an issue. If you recall correctly, we didn't deal with the 10-day waiver rule and the resubmission of motions simultaneously. They were two projects that sort of we undertook consecutively on this committee. And when we had finished working on one, we had started working on another. And I think the issue here was that if we wanted to have the 10-day waiver rule apply to resubmitted motions, it would have required a second set of recommendations concerning another section of the PEP manual, which would have required a second public comment period on those changes as well. So they would have been handled. They would have had to been handled separately. And I think this was perceived to be a sort of a complication, and the decision at the time was to sort of just not tackle that then and wait to possibly deal with it at a future date. I see Mary's also on the call. I hadn't noticed earlier, and I've been quoting her a lot, so maybe she could help us with recollecting some of this as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. That is a very interesting point. You mentioned that you thought that there would have to be a change in the PDP manual if this rule were changed in the operating procedures. Could you clarify? I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant the operating procedures, not the PDP manual. Apologies.
Oh, okay. Okay. And the issue is just simply that if a change is made here, that it would require public comment, and that the thought was that couldn't be added at the last minute because the public comment period was already closed. Is that your understanding?
I think we would have had to run two simultaneous public comments, one on resubmission of motions, and then a second one on having the 10-day waiver rule apply to resubmitted motions, just because they were addressed in two different parts of the operating procedures. That is, if I recall correctly, and that's sort of what created the complication then. And if we wanted to, because as you know, we like to have a very light touch to whatever changes we make on the SCI, and so I think the decision was back then to sort of not overcomplicate matters with two simultaneous public comment periods that may confuse folks who are looking at them. But the language as is, I don't see how the 10-day waiver rule could apply to resubmitted motions, although I see no reason why, in fact, it shouldn't. I think it would provide the GNSO Council with more flexibility and how it does its work. So I think just a very slight tweak needs to be made, perhaps to Section 3.3.2. I did paste some of the language that Mary had suggested back in February of 2014 to that effect. I personally think it's good language, and I thought others might want to consider it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Amr. I see that Rudy has posted a question in the chat that I'm hopeful that Mary will answer for us directly here on the call. And Rudy's question is, if the 10-day waiver rule is applied to a resubmitted motion, then could that resubmitted motion be indefinitely be resubmitted? I guess he's saying, you know, many, 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 many times. So, Mary, could you and I see your hand is up, go ahead and comment on that as well as anything else that you wanted to say.
Thank you, Anne, and hi, everybody. It's Mary. I'm not in an office, so if my connection drops, if you can't hear me, please type it in the chat so I can see it and either correct myself or dial back in. So, Anne, I was actually going to go back to Amr's and Wolf's comments and questions before taking Rudy's. As I typed in the chat, I think the first question to be clarified amongst and by the SCI is whether the waiver rule can and should apply to resubmitted motions. As Wolf noted, that seems to be the assumption of some, at least, of the SCI members. But going to what Amr was saying earlier, this was not something that was, in our recollection, explicitly considered by the SCI. And by the time we dived into thinking about it, the sort of timing with the public comment that Amr brought up had already occurred. So from the staff perspective, we think it would be helpful if we could clarify amongst the SCI that the answer is yes, in which case then the question of what appropriate language should apply and whether that should go into 3.3.2 or somewhere else, as Amr was saying, can be considered. And then to Rudy's question, that would be part of the consideration as well. And it may be that the way the resubmission rules work, the answer is no, but we would propose doing it in that order. And I hope this is helpful in sort of orienting people with where we were and where we are. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Mary. I completely agree with, you know, we need to determine whether there's generally favorable consideration, but I felt that Rudy's question was that the answer to that question might affect, you know, where he might be coming out on this issue. So I was hoping that we could, you know, address his question before kind of taking a little straw poll, if you will, as to where those on the call stand on whether they favor the applying 10-day waiver rule to resubmission or not. And I think Rudy's question, you know, could the answer that could potentially, you know, affect his, you know, vote, if you will. So my thought was, just looking at it, that a resubmitted motion, when we say, does that mean it could be resubmitted indefinitely if it's subject to the 10-day waiver rule, I think I see those as independent issues because it, my recollection is that after a certain period of time that the motion is not actually considered a resubmitted motion. Mary, perhaps you can help me there in terms of how long a period has passed. I think it's in 4.3.4, paragraph 3, and it's the timing. It says, a motion will no longer be considered a resubmitted motion once two council meetings have passed after the meeting at which the motion was voted upon but not adopted. The motion will thereafter be considered a new motion. So my basic conclusion about this, and Mary, do correct me if I'm wrong, is that application of the 10-day waiver rule to a resubmitted motion does not change the number of times that a motion would be resubmitted, that it's an independent consideration. Is that correct?
And I've typed in the chat that, yes, you know, if you think about it in terms of the second time and the third time and a fourth time, that's what 4.3.3 and then 4.3.4 seem to contemplate. So at that point, when we get to that point, essentially we start over is how we read it.
Great. Thank you. And I see in the chat that Wolf Ulrich and maybe you know, Amr has mentioned that as well, that they're independent. So, Rudy, have we answered your question about this, or would you like to ask any further questions before we take a quick straw poll?
Thanks, Anne, Rudy, for the transcript. Yes, it helped me in having a clear view on what direction we have to go.
Okay, great. And could I just ask if, generally speaking, those on the call are in favor of going this direction of allowing resubmitted motions to benefit from the 10-day waiver rule, could you please click agree? Avri, do you not have an opinion? Okay.
No opinions today, thanks.
No opinion, okay. How about could we clear our agrees, and then if anybody would like to express a disagreement with this approach or see any problems with it, or the other thing I would say is, you know, if you think there are unanswered questions in your mind, things that need to be explored further, if we could get a disagree, that would also be good. Okay.
Okay, I've got a question.
Are
sure. we agreeing to some particular piece of text or just to a statement that's been made? I want to understand if we're doing some sort of formal agreement thing, exactly
no.
what text we are agreeing to at the moment, or is this just getting a sense of the room?
Yes, this is just getting a sense of the room, Avri, and I guess my thought was that we might want to take one or two approaches. I mean, there are, you know, members who are not on the call right now, so we could do, I think, one of two things. We could either just simply put out a general statement that those on the call were in favor of moving this direction to allow the 10-day waiver rule and ask, you know, other SCI members whether they agree with that general approach, or we could also ask staff to, you know, prepare language that would be associated with that, that would be the clearest language that we could come up with, and circulate that in the group at the same time that we circulate the general principle. I don't want to rush things too much. I'm cognizant of the fact that this is, you know, we want to be a group that considers things in a thorough manner, and does anyone have thoughts on how far we should go in communicating with the rest of the members, whether we should ask staff to draft or not? Mary, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Anne and everyone. Julia and I were discussing this, and so our recommendation is that definitely for the first part, that is to have a notification to the whole SCI that, you know, this is the general feeling and that anybody who has a different opinion or an objection should raise it. With regard to the second part, the language, we could go back and look at, I think Amma had dug up something I had suggested, and I think there may have been one or two discussions around things like that, and recirculate those and have people do a little bit of a think about it. That's one way to proceed, we think.
Right.
And obviously, if redrafting or, you know, tweaking needs to be done, we could then look at whether what we already have is a good starting point or whether we need to start over and whether that should be the whole group or a subgroup, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing I will note about the language, and this is Anne again, is that what Amr had pasted in the chat, it says that if the waiver applies, that it must meet the requirements of 3.3.2 in addition to those detailed in 4.3.3. I think I would ask staff to take a look at how the term explanation is used in 4.3.3 versus how the term request for consideration is used in 3.3.2, and perhaps try to reconcile the use of those two terms in the event that the 10-day waiver rule is going to apply. How do we deal with explanation, which is a different standard or a different requirement, if you will, from a request for consideration? But with that, I think I'll just ask everyone again by way of kind of a straw poll. How many would favor circulating among the members not only the general tendency to agree with or favor this change, but also the circulating of some language drafted by staff? If you would agree that you want both those steps to proceed, can you please show me in Adobe Chat?
This is Julie. I'm sorry. I've got some noise in the background. Could you just repeat what you wanted me to put back up? I apologize.
Oh, I didn't ask for anything. And then how many in the chat, in the Adobe, believe that we should just circulate the notion of having a 10-day waiver rule apply to resubmitted motions, but not circulate any specific language with draft language with respect to that? If you agree with the second approach, so I'm seeing two disagreements. So Amr and Rudy are in favor of allowing staff to go ahead with drafting. And I think Wolf Ulrich was also voting. Wolf Ulrich, were you saying on the straw poll that you're in favor of allowing staff to go ahead with some drafting on this? Yes, he was. Avri, are you going to go with no opinion either way on these things, or? Nope. Do you not have a preference?
I don't mind allowing them to draft. I just don't see myself asking them to draft. If they've already drafted and they've got it well in mind, I'm just not sure that before we figured out what we want to do, asking them to draft is something we should do. But yeah, I'm relatively ambivalent. If they want to draft something, I have no problem with drafting something. Thanks.
Thank you, Avri. Mary, what's your feeling on that?
Anne, Avri, everybody. We can certainly provide the starting point on the understanding, of course, that it really is just a starting point, and hopefully that would help to streamline the task a little bit for the group. So we can go back to where we left things in the last discussion, and we'll certainly look at all the transcripts and discussions. We'll take on board the comments and that you just made, and try and circulate something that, like I said, can be hopefully a useful starting point for everybody.
Okay, that sounds good, and I think there's a fair amount of agreement that what this draft would be simply just a basis for the discussion in our next meeting, and I would say that that is going to be a meeting that occurs in person in Buenos Aires based on looking at the calendar. I do think it's important that when we send out just the basic idea of this and a draft for discussion purposes, that we do emphasize that it's simply a matter of something that's going to be, you know, circulated for discussion purposes in Buenos Aires. So does that make sense to everyone? Could I get some agreements on that or disagreements? I think we're supposed to have a meeting set sometime Saturday the 20th. Can I get staff's latest on that whole topic? Because I don't see us having a call on the 18th. I personally am traveling on the 18th. I don't know about others, but it seems to me that we should just address this in our in-person meeting. And Mary and Julie, thank you all for your agreements. Mary and Julie, do you guys have any information with respect to our in-person SCI meeting?
Hi, Anne. It's Mary, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but as I recall, and Julie can probably either correct me or back me up, and I see Wolf has typed something in, it's our usual early Saturday morning meeting right before the GNSO convenes for the weekend session.
Right. I think I have to give a report at the top of that session, and then how does that work? SCI meets at the same time as GNSO begins its other business, or?
No, I'm sorry. I apologize if I wasn't clear. The SCI meets for an hour or so before the GNSO convenes, so we would have
very early, very early.
Yes,
right.
That's
okay.
Right. And then you're first on the agenda for updating the GNSO, so at least you get all your stuff over with and at one shot.
Right. So theoretically, we would be meeting at like 7 a.m. something. So, Amr, go ahead. I see your hands up.
Thanks, Sam. This is Amr. I was just going to make a suggestion on what we were discussing earlier regarding staff drafting some language.
Amr, we lost you. I'm not. Can others hear Amr?
I would actually be in favor of because.
Were we cutting out again?
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Can everyone hear Amr? Now I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm using. Oh, can you hear me now?
I can. Yes.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm using the audio on the AC room, and I guess messes up sometimes. I was just going to suggest that instead of asking staff to draft something, that we pick up where they left off on what they've already drafted. And I believe this because I think it was based on at least some discussion that took place on the SCI. I'd also be happy to help Mary and Julie track down some of the discussions we've had both on list and transcripts of calls. I had already gone through this exercise and trying to track some of this down when I had a discussion with Ron about this when the council was voting on the 10-day waiver rule. So just wanted to give a heads up that I'm happy to help with that. I already did some of the work already, so thanks.
Thank you, Amr. I do think that would be good. I guess the only thing, it does seem to me that in connection with the drafting that was already done, again, that there is a difference between explanation, as that word is used in 4.3.3, and a request for consideration, as it's used in the 10-day waiver rule. And I don't know, you know, if we want to just make that a footnote in circulating this draft, or if you want to try to address that with staff when you're working with them. But you know, I do think it does need to be addressed. I don't know whether that means that there will be both an explanation and a request for reconsideration, or whether they will be, you know, considered one and the same. But I do think that it's a point that we'll need to discuss in our meeting in Buenos Aires. Go ahead, Elmer.
Thanks, Ann. I'm not sure if I'm missing anything, but I don't see why both the request and the explanation should not both be provided. The explanation would be to explain why a motion is being resubmitted, but the request would be to waive the 10-day rule. So the way I see that, they would a counselor who is submitting a motion for the second time, making it a resubmitted motion, and is doing so past the regular 10-day deadline, needs to both submit an explanation on why the motion is being resubmitted, as well as a request to waive the 10-day rule. So I'm not sure why there may be a problem or a concern with one or either of them.
Okay, great. So you think it's clear that by the drafting that's there that the explanation and the request for consideration are both required because it says must meet these requirements?
Yeah, as far as I can see, unless I'm missing something.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I probably was just jumping into that because when it says must meet these requirements, there are certain conflicting requirements, such as the time frame. So the 10-day advance, you know, must meet these requirements, which would be a 10-day advance, but the waiver rule is 24 hours in advance. And I think I was, you know, potentially jumping to the point of thinking, well, there's also a potential conflict between explanation and request for consideration. But, you know, we can... As to whether or not that should be clarified, maybe it's must meet these requirements other than the 10-day advance rule, that kind of thing. Do you see what I mean by that?
I think I'm still missing something. These are both sort of exceptions to standing rules. And they apply under a different set of circumstances. And one requires an explanation, the other requires a request. So if both exceptions to these standing rules need to be considered, I would assume that the prerequisites for each one should stand. I must be missing something, but I'd be happy to take this discussion on list if others would like that. Thanks.
Yeah, that's fine. We should probably just discuss it in Buenos Aires and get through, you know, the right language at that point in time. So I'm fine with whatever approach you and staff want to take with on the language issue personally. Anybody else have any comments on that point? Great. Well, I'm hoping then that we can move on with that decided. We are not going to be considering the amendments to motions during this meeting because we decided in our last meeting to take these issues one after the other. And so I thank everyone again for participating. Is there any other business with respect to this particular call? Great. Well, thank you, everyone, and I look forward to seeing all of you in Buenos Aires. I'll be working with staff to put together our report to GNSO Council, and it will basically just be summarizing where we are and that we're very early in our work. So thanks again for your participation, and have a great trip to Buenos Aires. See you all there.
Thank you. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day. Tony, please stop the recordings.